ahead and pull out your message notes. They say the purpose of your personality on them. The purpose of your personality. How many of you have ever made something with your hands, created something? Maybe you're an artist, a painting, or wrote a song, built something that you just felt incredibly proud of. You just feel really good about it. Yeah, have you guys had those experiences where you just have made something, you look back and go, I did that, and I feel really good about that? Well, as we've been going through this series called Discover Your Ministry, that's the way God describes you from his perspective. If you look in your outline, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's what? Masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. I don't care what you're feeling coming in today. I don't care what your week has been like. I don't care what messages you've heard that have been contrary to that. The truth is that you are God's masterpiece. And that's how he sees you. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I just want to stop and just give a moment to how big and how great God is. This is the God who created the universe. The God who created all galaxies. The God who created everything. And he says, but you are my masterpiece. You know, we look out, we go to Yosemite, we go to Wyoming and go to Yellowstone, we see all these pictures that are just beautiful, natural things. He goes, but above all that, you are my masterpiece. And I think that's something to celebrate. Isn't that amazing? That God sees you that way. And we've been going through a series called Discover Your Ministry, where we realize that each of us is shaped in a particular way to serve God. Each of us has a particular call. And we've been going through the letters S-H-A-P-E to talk about that. A few weeks ago, we started with S, spiritual gifts. We talked about how each of you is gifted with a spiritual ability if you become a follower of Jesus. Then we went over to H, and we talked about our passions. What are we passionate about? And then last week we talked about our abilities. And some of us just have natural abilities that are very significant, even though they seem normal to us. Well, today we get to focus on the P, your personality. Each one of us has a very unique personality. Wouldn't you agree that the person next to you has a very unique personality? Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about that. And next week we're going to finish up with our experiences. Now let me just tell you some good news for me is I'm not going to be here next week, but that's not the good news. The reason I'm not going to be here is I'm graduating. I finally completed my master's degree at Fuller Theological Seminary. Yeah, thank you. And the ceremony is down in Pasadena in Southern California, so my family's going to drive down there. We're going to spend time with my family, go to California Adventure, and just have a good time. And then my parents are planning a big party. So I will not be here. I will miss you guys. We have a great guest speaker. His name is Sean Curtis. He's going to come here and share about your experiences. And he has a life story that I can't wait for you guys to hear about his own life experiences and how God has used that to serve other people. So that's next week. And so I will not be here. I'll miss you guys, but that's what's going on. And then the week after that is Father's Day. What we've been doing is we've been going through each of these letters is hopefully you guys all have something that looks like this, a shape profile. It was not passed out today, but you should have gotten in previous weeks. If you do not, we have a big pack of them. Jared, hold them up high. If you look behind you, I want you to pick up one of these because after each sermon, there's been some homework for you guys to do, some exercises. And as you do that, you want to transfer the results to this because this is going to show you, or at least help you, determine how God has wired you to serve him. And what we're going to do is we're going to have you guys turn these in the day after Father's Day on June 28th. June 28th is about 3 weeks from now. We want you to turn these in because we want, as a church, to help you plug into a ministry that really fits how God wired you. We want you to do something that you're excited about, something that you're passionate about. So hold on to these, fill these in. If you're not doing your homework, you can still start and do it and put it in there. We also, on June 28th, I might as well talk about this now, is we're going to have a volunteer appreciation dinner. The evening of June 28th, 3 weeks from now, we're going to have a dinner for all of you who have been helping out in any form here at Edgewater. We want to say thank you and treat you to a nice dinner. And so we're going to have that Antioch Covenant Church. We're going to share about all that God's been doing. If you are not volunteering but you want to, you're also invited to this dinner. So basically, you're all invited, right? If you're serving or if you want to serve, we really want to celebrate. So you can turn in your shape profile Sunday morning at church or that evening at the volunteer appreciation dinner. And we'll talk about that more as we get closer. So back to personality. Some of you may be thinking, you know, my personality just doesn't interest me. And I want to say, that's too bad. Because God created you in a very specific way, and it really should interest you. Personality is what makes you personal. personality is what makes you unique. All those little idiosyncrasies you have, the way you go about things, that's what makes you personal. It's your personality. Personality is how you relate to other people. So you and I could be doing the exact same job, but because we have different personalities, how we relate to people in the midst of that job is very different. And that's very significant in understanding how God has shaped you. We relate to people in different ways. Now, this sermon is going to be a bit different because the word personality never shows up in the Bible. I did a search. It's not there. But what we see instead is we see lots of people in the Bible who have very unique personalities. And you begin to see, as you look at these people, how the God has shaped them with their personality really affects how they serve and what they do. And we're going to look at some of those people. So it'll be a slightly different sermon in that way. Now, I want you to do me a favor. In your outline, there's two blank lines. You guys see that? On the top line, I want you to write down your first and last name. Just write down your first and last name. Now, hopefully that wasn't too hard an exercise. You guys okay? All right, good, good. Now, on the line below it, write your first and last name, but with your other hand. Write your first and last name with your other hand. And yeah, some people are already dropping pens. It's that bad. You can do it. You can do it. How you guys do? A bit more challenging, right? A bit more challenging. It doesn't come naturally. So there's a report up here that some of your handwriting is so bad that you really can't tell the difference between top or bottom. It's the exact same. Well, here's the thing. God has given you a personality, a unique way of relating to people, and your personality is just you. You can't really try to change it. You can't really change your personality, and your personality is like writing with your good hand. If you try to be someone else with your personality, it's going to feel a lot like writing with your other hand. It just doesn't work. Now, you can do it. It's not that you can't be someone else, but it'll always feel a bit unnatural. So it's not that you're boxed in by your personality, but rather you have a natural way of relating, and you have freedom to relate other ways, but it's going to take a little more effort, a little more work. Personalities, at least the way we're talking about them, aren't right or wrong. You don't have a right personality or a wrong personality. We're not talking about sins or bad. We're not talking about, hey, that person's personality is just greedy. We're not talking about that kind of personality. We're talking about things that are neutral. They aren't bad or good. They're just you, and God will shape you to use those things. So most people believe that personality does not change significantly over time. It may change maybe when you're at home or at work, but more or less, again, you keep the same personality. Now, personality is who God created you to be, and you will find it very helpful in determining what your personality is like. Now, in your outline, it says this: your spiritual gifts, your abilities, and your passion all show where you should serve, but your personality tells us how you will serve. Your spiritual gifts, your passions, your abilities will show you where to serve, but how you serve in those contexts is determined by your personality. Like I said, two people can have the exact same ministry, but do it very differently because of their personalities. It's helpful to know that because you may be working with people in the same role and you think they are doing it way differently than me, and that frustrates me. But some of it might be good because they may complement your personality. We actually need each other. So what I want to talk about today is talk about some of the dynamics that shape your personality, some of the strengths of your personality, some of your weaknesses, and why you need other people to complement your personality. Does that sound good? Oh, man, I'm a little scared. Does that sound good? All right, here we go. Okay, so let's begin to explore personality. We're going to look at three different scales, and those are in your outline. Each of us tends to lean one side or the other in each of these scales, and so you can score yourself as we go along. The first personality scale is outgoing versus shy. Outgoing versus shy. When my wife Becky and I just started dating, we went to a party of about 50, 75 people, and we walked into this room, huge crowd. You know, imagine maybe a party about this big, and we kind of do our thing. Okay, Becky, who are you going to talk to? And she goes, I'm going to talk to Tabitha over there. Okay, great, I'm going to go talk to someone over here. And so I'm talking to someone. About 10 minutes later, I finish up that conversation. I go to the next person, talking to maybe another 10, 15 minutes, finish that conversation. The whole party, I probably got like 50 people. You know, I'm talking to everyone. Then at the end of the party, I'm like, I wonder where my wife is. She's probably been talking to everyone too. And I turn around, and she's on the same couch with Tabitha. She hasn't talked to the same person the whole party because that's my wife. She zones in, focuses, and is content talking to one person for an hour straight. That's really hard for me. You know, if I get 5 minutes with you guys, I'm lucky. I'm ready to go to the next person because I'm a little more outgoing, and Becky, I wouldn't call her shy, but she's a little more introverted. She likes to hang out with one person. So the question is, when you walk into a room full of strangers, is your natural tendency to introduce yourself to everyone and make sure you say hi to everyone, get to know as many people as you can, or is your tendency to hide in the corner, find your one or two special people, and just hang out with them the whole time? That will help you know if you're more outgoing or shy. If you enjoy meeting as many people as you can, you're more outgoing. If you prefer to focus in and talk to just a couple people, most likely you're shy. Or, you know, shy is a weird word. I would say introvert's probably a better word. Now, outgoing versus shy also tells you where you get your energy from. If you're more outgoing and you want to kind of get pumped up, you go to crowds of people and hang out with them because that's where you get your energy, right? Now, if you're shy, that's not where you get your energy. You need to go home and be alone in a room and just get some energy. So it really determines on how you get your energy, how you get pumped up, outgoing versus shy. Now, twins, identical twins can have totally different personalities when it comes to this. It's amazing. You can have the same DNA, but different personality. In fact, the Bible talks about this. Look in your outline. This is talking about Jacob and Esau. It says, when the time came for her, meaning Jacob and Esau's mom, to give birth, they were twins, twin boys in her womb. The boys grew up, and listen to this, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. So you got two twins, one who just wants to be out there. Let me go, you know, meet the wild, hang out with things, kill animals, I want to meet people, go out. And then you have Jacob who says, Mom, I'd just rather stay home. And that's okay. They're twins, but they have different personalities. Not good or bad, just reality. Now let me ask you guys, what are some pros about having an outgoing personality? What would you guys say are some pros? Benefits. Yeah?
Easily approached,
right. People who are more outgoing are easily approachable. They're very friendly. They're really out there. Great. Other things, yeah? Yeah, outgoing people know so many people. There's, hey, you know this person, they can kind of connect people. Right. Maybe one more. What's another pro? Yeah. Huh? They're not bored. Yeah, they're always doing stuff. Yeah. Good. Positive outlet. Now, guess who's answering these questions? Right? Yeah, outgoing people, right? Shy people are like, why would I ever want to speak in a big crowd? That's the silliest thing. You know, you're thinking, you know, I have an opinion, but someone else will probably say it. I don't need to speak up, right? Now, what are some cons about being outgoing? What are things that aren't all that great? Overbearing? Everyone knows all your business? Yeah, yeah.
Motivating people?
That's, what do you mean by that? Like, oh, negative. Okay, that's a positive. Yes, you motivate people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take over every conversation. Yeah, you can just keep talking, right? Yeah, sometimes for outgoing people, it's hard to get deep with people. You know, you just want to move to the next person, so it's hard to have deeper conversations. Great. Hard to get close? Yeah, right. Okay. Let's talk about shy people. Okay, shy people, you need to talk. What are some benefits to being shy and being a little more introverted? Nobody knows you. Yeah. Yeah, but you know everybody else. You know what's going on for their business. Yeah. You going to say something? Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Angie. Yeah, you're totally observant. And usually more introverted, shy people have a lot of insight because they're just watching. Yeah, great. Yeah. Another benefit? Depth of relationship. Right. You go deep with people. Great. What are some cons of being more introverted or shy? They never tell you these things. In fact, some of you are hearing for the first time, you really believe that? Yeah. So you just sometimes, you know, you're not sharing enough, so you're harder to get to know, possibly. Yeah. Maybe a couple other. They won't get in trouble as much. I don't know. That could happen. Yeah. Robert. One more time. They mind their own business. Yeah. Now, is that a pro or a con? That's a pro, right? That's good. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, yeah. Great. I would say one con is often the introvert people I know have really good things to share in a group because they're so insightful and they really think about it, but they're very hesitant to share anything. And so often, if you're shy, you actually have pearls of wisdom that other people need to hear, but you may not share it because you think, oh, I don't want to, or someone else will probably say it, but we need you. We really need you. Great. And so what do you guys think I am? I already kind of shared, but what am I? Okay, I'm outgoing. Okay, great. Now, I want you guys to rank yourself. There's a scale of 1 to 4. You know, are you more outgoing or shy? So on your outline, you can go ahead and put shy in that blank and rank yourself. Okay. Now we're going to talk about task-oriented. The next scale is task-oriented versus people-oriented. Task-oriented versus people. In other words, do you like projects more or do you like people more? Now, if you're task-oriented, that means you just love to complete projects. You want to get stuff done. You just get a lot of satisfaction in that. If you're task-oriented, all I need to do is give you a project to do and you will sink your teeth into it and do it well. You don't want to waste time talking about it. You just want to do it. Just get it done. This personality may enjoy being around people. It's not that you're not social, but when it comes down to it, the main focus is getting the task done. That's what you're excited about. If you're people-oriented, you're a little different. For you, it's all about enjoying people, being around people. In fact, people end up being more important than the actual project you're getting done. So you can be working, but I get to chill with all these people at the same time. That's what really gets me going. It's not that you don't want to get a task done. It's just that in the end, you enjoy more getting connected to people in relationship than getting the project done. If you've ever been across the border on a missions trip, like when you're building a home or building a school or building a building, you'll see these personalities come out really well. Because the task person is like, let's build the home. Let's just do it. Boom, 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 boom. They're working. And then look over the people-oriented, and the people-oriented people are socializing with everyone. They're meeting all the people. They're going from house to house saying, hey, yeah, we're in town. How you doing? And they're just greeting everybody and having a great time. The task-oriented people are totally getting frustrated, but by the end of the trip, they realize, oh, we didn't know anybody. We got a house built, but we don't really know anybody. And the people like you more than they like me, even though I'm the one that built the house. You know, so there's something, but we need both, right? Both are really important because relationship is really important, so is task. And so we need both. You see this a little bit in the story of Mary and Martha. Do you guys remember this story when Mary and Martha are serving Jesus? Why don't we read it together in your outline? It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away from her. So you have these two personalities. Martha's a tasky person, right? Jesus comes home, let's do stuff for him. Then you have her sister Mary. He's like, Jesus is here? Let's hang out with him. Now, in this particular passage, it does seem like Jesus is affirming people versus task, but really this passage is much more about being Jesus-focused no matter what. If Jesus is in your presence, you focus on Jesus. And Martha was getting so distracted, she thought it was more important to serve Jesus than actually to be with him. So it feels like there's a value judgment, but there's not. Both are needed. And we see these, both in Jesus, we see task and people-orientedness in him. So the question is, what are you? Now, there are pros and cons to each. Again, what are some of the pros of being task-oriented? You get things done. Great. What are some cons of being task-oriented? You ignore people. Yeah. What are some pros of being people-oriented? pros. Yeah. What are some pros of being people-oriented? Lots of help. Say it again. You get to know a lot of people. Yeah, friendly. And some cons are you might not be that efficient, right? Yeah. Great. This is also a good place to point out that we cannot make people fit our personality. And that's actually a good thing. You're going to be around with people with different personalities, and they're going to complement you where you are weak, and you're going to complement them where you're strong. And the reality is God created us, wired us, that we need each other. Where I am strong, I can complement you, and where I am weak, I need you. And that's true for all of us. As a church, we need each other. We really do, because we don't have it all in one person. So task versus people. Anyone want to guess which one I am on this? See, I hear both. You know what's interesting? I'm actually more task-oriented, but the tasks that motivate me have to do with people. So it's a little weird thing, but I'm actually a little more tasky. Yeah. Well, how about you guys? Rank yourself. Where do you put yourself on the scale? Are you more task-oriented or people-oriented? Task or people? Okay. The next skill is variety versus routine. Variety versus routine. It's the last skill. The person who enjoys variety loves new challenges and loves doing something different almost every day. A person who loves variety goes stir crazy if they're doing the same thing over and over and over again, day after day after day. They just go crazy. They need a new outlet. So these are the people who want variety, who want to be out there, who want to be spontaneous, who want their options open. They don't want to know exactly what their week next week looks like. They'd rather keep it open so they can have some spontaneity in it. They love variety. The routine people, well, they love routine. They love systems, doing the same thing every day, having checklists, knowing how things are organized and having a routine. And if things aren't don't have systems, they want to make systems because they love it. They love just putting things together in order because they just bring organization, and that's what they love. When they can systemize things and have it be the same thing every day, they think, I've got it, and they get so much joy in that. I was going to ask what you guys think I am on this one. I'll go ahead and ask. What do you guys think I am on this one? Yeah, I'm more variety. I love variety. I mean, and most people who like to start things tend to like variety. In fact, when I was trying to figure out a career and I knew I wanted to go into ministry, the lady who was counseling me said, John, either you need to be part of a really, really big church that has lots of options because you're going to get bored, or you need to start your own church. So I took the second option. Sound good? But yeah, I love variety. But you know what? There's problems with people who love variety. What are some of the problems? Say it again. Don't stick with it. Yeah, they can be excited about one thing and tell people, hey, this is where we're going to go, and the next day they totally forgot about it because they're on to the next thing. Yeah. Variety with routine. Good, that helps. Yeah. Another disadvantage of variety. Yeah. Yeah, don't get, yeah. Variety people tend not to be very organized. Yeah. Because we like to do things, go from thing to thing, and we really need your routine people to make up for where we blow it. Okay, so what are some pros of variety? You do a lot of those things, get good at it, yeah. Spontaneity, joy, yeah. Your routine people, we really need you because you guys are the ones that provide the backbone and make sure that things get done. You know, I've heard of companies with visionary present CEOs who have amazing vision and do all the things, but they forget payroll. You know, because they don't have those routine people in place who are taking care of things for them. And so we need both. We're not good alone. We actually need each other. I'm going to read about Paul and Barnabas. I want you guys to tell me, Paul and Barnabas, are they more routine or variety as I read this? The next day, Paul and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Variety or routine? Yeah, if you read about Paul, this man was crazy. You know, he would start all these churches, but he could never stay at one church he started. He would start, and once they had some leaders, he was gone to the next city, building a new church. But I think the longest he stayed at one church was like a year and a half, and that was long for him. He was variety. But he realized later on that was causing problems, so he would go back to the churches and appoint elders in place to actually run things because he realized that his variety was causing some problems. There was a pro and there was a con, and he needed other people to do that. So again, where do you put yourself on this scale? Are you more variety or are you more routine? Go ahead and take a moment and rank yourself on the scale. Okay, now if you do have your yellow shape profile, and again, if you don't have one of these, please pick one up the back, you're going to see a point where you can put in some of the rankings. The thing is, when I type this up, well, I've changed the categories since I typed this up. So you can cross off the four categories that are in your shape profile and instead put the three that we just talked about today. So that's what you need to do when you go home and do this. Now, there are three blanks in your outline. It says your personality. What I want you to do is put three letters. So, for instance, the first letter, if you're outgoing, put the letter O. If you're shy, put the letter S. The second blank, same thing. If you're task-oriented, put a T. If you're people-oriented, put a P. And the third blank, if you're variety, put V. And if you are routine, put R. So each of you should have three letters in place. R. Just, yeah, the first letter of each one. Again, just it's just the first letter of whatever you are on each of those. Didn't make, mean to make that complicated. So you should have three letters. You got them? Do you guys need more time? I'm not getting anything. You guys. All right, good. Okay, good. Now, way back in 4th century BC, a guy determined there were about basically four different personality types, and we still more or less use those four types today. Now, when we're going to talk about personality types, I want you not to, you guys are already looking on the back. Don't look at the back yet. Turn to the front, yes. What I want to say before we talk about your personality is this is not meant to lock you in. You can work around this. This is just your natural default. This isn't meant to be a cage, but a way to identify where you're strong and where you're supposed to serve, but also identify where you need help from other people in this church, because we don't all have it together. So this is what we're going to do. You can turn to the back, and you're going to see a set of letters. There are a couple here, but you can look for your three set of letters. And we're going to start on the left column on the back here. We're going to make it fun, we're going to assign animals to all these different personality types. So you're going to figure out what animal you are, okay? So the first animal is the otter. If you're an OPV, you're an otter. And this describes you. You're talkative, life of the party, good sense of humor. You have a memory for color. I thought that was interesting. You tend to be more emotional, cheerful, and bubbly. You're curious. You make friends really easy. You love people. You thrive on compliments. You tend not to hold grudges, get over things quickly, and you love spontaneous activities. You're the otter. You just go around from thing to thing to thing. And God wired you this way, okay? All right, how many otters do we have in the house? Raise your hand. Otters? All right, okay. You guys are the life of the party. We need you for fun. No, seriously. You know, when we talk about having fun, we need you guys because you just know how to do it. And it just comes naturally. That's your personality. And you have a gift to offer this church. And I want to say, as a church, we're a team and we need you. You have a specific place. There's something in the Bible called fellowship. And fellowship just means fun with people. And you guys have the personality to organize things and to really add life to those parties. So thank you for being you. The otters. The next column, you guys are the lions. The lions. You're born leaders. You have a compulsive need for change. You must correct wrongs. Strong-willed and decisive. Unemotional. Independent and self-sufficient. Goal-oriented. Exudes confidence. Not easily discouraged. You seek practical solutions. You move quickly to action. And you stimulates activity, you get things going. So you're a lion, you're just kind of a born leader, and you're kind of, you just know how to move forward and take people with you, because that's how you think. All right, lions, raise your hand, lions. How many of you are lions? Great. You're an emotional lion. Yeah, these aren't, yeah, that's okay. You don't have to lock yourself into these things. Yeah. Lions, let me talk to you for a moment, because you have a special gift from God that we really need in this church. You guys are leaders. You're the ones who can think of something that the church needs and say, this needs to happen. And you have the capability, because of your personality, to organize people around it and to say, you know what, I want to help and move forward. We need you. Without you, nothing gets done. People have great ideas, but they'll just not do anything about them. But you are the lions, so roar. I like that. Yeah, roar. Be leaders. We need you. We need you. Okay, next column, the STRs. You guys are beavers. Beavers. You guys are deep and thoughtful, analytical, serious, purposeful, talented and creative, sensitive to others, self-sacrificing, orderly and organized, details, you're very good with details, persistent and thorough, you're a good problem solver, you make friends cautiously, and you're content to stay in the background. You just want to do your thing and do it well, but you don't need much attention for it. All right, you guys are our faithful beavers. Beavers, will you raise your hand for a moment? Where are you guys? Okay, I wish I had a picture right now because I need you guys. You guys are like, you know what, strengths and weaknesses? What you guys offer are my weaknesses, just those background detail things. So if you ever want to volunteer your time, talk to me. I saw you. Raise your hands. But beavers, you know what? You guys provide, you guys are the backbone. You guys have a very special role in the church because you're the ones that get the stuff done, but no, not too many people see you do it. And it's quite amazing. You're the ones that provide the stability. You're the ones doing the administrative work. You're the ones setting up, taking down, doing all these things that are incredibly important and serve people and help people get to know Jesus better, but you're never in the forefront. So I just want to honor you guys right now. What are you? Beavers. Beavers, I honor you. Thank you. And I mean this seriously. Thank you. Because you don't get enough attention. You don't get enough gratitude. But God sees what you're doing, and it's incredibly important for the church. Amen? Great. Last group. You guys are the golden retrievers. The golden retrievers. The faithful friend. The faithful person who's just there for you when you need that person. A lower key personality, but you're just easygoing and relaxed, easy to be around, calm, cool, and collected, patient, well-balanced. You're quiet, but you're really witty. You avoid conflict, but you have the sympathy, and you're very kind. You're a great listener. Keeps your emotions hidden. You mediate problems between people. You enjoy watching people, and you have incredible compassion and concern. A lot of counselors are golden retrievers. But this is, you guys, how many of you are golden retrievers? Raise your hand. Yeah. You guys are faithful friends. You guys are the person that when your other friends have troubles, they know to go to you because you're there. You're there for them. You're a good listener. You're a good counselor. You have incredible insight. You're safe. You know, my wife is like that to me. She's been a huge friend to me. She's the person I go to when things aren't going well. And it's wonderful. And you guys, you can't replace friends like you. And so I want to say thank you. The church needs people like you. The church needs people who have a listening ear, who have an eye out for the hurting, and just know how to be there and care. And you have that personality. It comes really natural to you. So those are the four, you know, general personality types. Again, you may not fit all of them. You probably fit a couple of them, but there's probably one you lean towards. Now you're going to go home probably and call your spouse, your friends by animal names, huh? Again, I want to remind you that these personalities are gifts given by God for you to serve. They're not meant to box you in because you can work outside of your personality, but your regular area of ministry should focus on your personality strength. So just to give an example, let's talk about our church. You know, you could, like I said, you could do the same ministry, but do it in different ways because of your personality. So we have a hospitality and greeting ministry. Let's say we need someone to go greet and just be really friendly and meet all these people. Which animal would we want? What kind of personality would we want in that role? The otter, right. Now let's say we need someone to kind of organize everything and make sure that people are involved and someone signed up and you have a vision for the hospitality ministry. What kind of person would you want? The lion, yeah, because that person's a leader. Let's say you just need organization. You need someone who just understands how to get systems together and organize it so every day there's a to-do list, every Sunday there's a to-do list, and you know what's going on. What do you need for that? The beavers, yeah. Now, you know, for hospitality, we have people who come for the first time, and we want sometimes to follow up with phone calls, and we just need that personal touch for hospitality. Who would we have? Golden retrievers. The point is, it's all under the umbrella of hospitality, but your personality shapes how you do it. Does that make sense? Great. Now, the thing is, we have this tendency to want everyone else to have a personality just like ours. But the reality is, we actually need the diversity in this room. We need other people. We need it because we complement each other and we're good for each other. I love what Romans says. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Will you underline that last line? Each member belongs to all the others. If you are part of a church and you consider yourself a Christian and part of a church body, I want you to take this to heart, that you belong to everyone else in this church. That you're part of a body. That you're needed, and that you're important, and you have a role to play. And God has put you on this earth not just to breathe air and take up space, but to make a difference for his kingdom, to be part of a community that blesses this community. There's no room for sitting on the sidelines when you're a follower of Jesus, and you belong to the body. You have a significant part. And so you need to rise to the occasion and say, God, I am here for you. Show me where you want me to be, and I will serve. If we want to be effective in this community, you guys, we all need to play our part. We all need to see that we are shaped by God and have a purpose right here. Don't miss out on that, okay? Does that make sense? Your outline says you need a, it should say we need to be. So cross that out. We need to be a team. We need to be a team. We need each other. You know, the studies that are coming out about people's connection to other people these days is very dismal. I read a study that in 1985, most adults had at least three people who they thought were important friends that they confided in. Most in 1985, people had three close friends. The most recent report says that that number has dropped to two close friends, and 25% of people report zero close friends. Zero close friends. The reasons? Our lives are becoming more and more hectic. Our commutes are really long. Suburbia means that we're moving away from family often. Time is tight. So people have less and less time for friends and for hobbies and for being part of something greater than themselves. What do we do about this? The fabric of our society is falling apart when it comes to community. Isolation seems to describe most people. Most of us feel incredibly lonely lots of times. And yet God gave us this gift called the church, where we're to be together and be a team and work together. That is why we have growth groups, you guys. We do that because we need each other. We need to be connected in small groups where we are getting to know people, where we're building friendships, where we're using our gifts and our personality, where the quiet person complements the talkative person, the organized person complements the spontaneous person, where we're together as a team making a difference in our communities. This summer, we've purposely incorporated events in our growth groups. We're going to go do things together because we're better as a team. We do better as a team. And that's why we have growth groups. I've invited Jared Rubio to come up and share a little about his growth group experience and what that was like and how that applies. So just welcome Jared up.
Well, Pastor John asked me to come up and share my experiences from the growth group. First of all, I had a blast in our growth group. We had so much fun. It was just pure joy from beginning to end. Made a lot of good friends and just got to know everybody. You know, when you first come to a growth group, people may be kind of shy. And, you know, your sermon today really touched on that, you know, the shy people versus the outgoing. And just the way that you see people grow and start to open up and really come together, it's amazing. And it's truly fellowship. It's growing together in God. And I had the most fun I had this year in my growth group. It was amazing. Now, for me, you come to church on Sunday, you're there, you go home, you're back to your life, you come back to church next Sunday, and all in between, you just live your life. When you're involved in a growth group, it's time right in the middle of the week, you come together with your church, and you, before you know it, your whole life is devoted, you know, to God and to just to being involved in your church. And I really want to encourage everybody to join a growth group. Another thing for me is that I learned a lot about myself in the growth group. You know, as you look at other people and you see the experiences that they share, and it just really, there's a lot that we have in common. And by the end of the session, the people who you thought were shy, you end up really getting to know them and find out that they're a lot more like you than you ever imagined. And then you just really look at everybody and the things you learned about them, and it just kind of helps you to learn things about yourself. And for me, it was wonderful, and I just want to encourage everybody to join a growth group. We hosted a growth group at my home last season, and I'll be doing it again. It's joy for me. It's joy and an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure, and I love to be involved, and I just want to strongly encourage all of you. Whether if you've already joined a growth group, I just encourage you to stick with it. And if you haven't yet, I just want to strongly encourage everybody to join, because it truly is a blessing, and you'll be able to bless yourself and others at the same time. Thank you.
Yeah, Jared shared that he learned that he was talkative, right, Jared? I remember our last growth group was like, "So, do I talk a lot?" We're like, "Yes, Jared, you do." The point here is we can't do this journey alone, and we need people around us. You need the other three animals around you, okay? And so growth groups are a way that to provide that. Now, some of you may be thinking, "I just don't have time for that. I mean, 10 weeks long, I don't know if I can be consistent." I just want to say, it's worth making a priority. It really is. The benefits are huge. And it's worth saying, you know what, this is important enough that I'm going to carve out time. Now, of course, we're going to be on vacation and stuff, and that makes sense. We'll miss those weeks. But when you're in town, you want to be part of one. It's really worth it. The question is, can you afford not to be in one for your own spiritual growth? There's something about just being connected with other people, studying the Bible, studying His Word, where God just does wonders. You can't just do it on Sunday mornings. It's about the week, too. Who are we in Jesus during the week? For many of you, it just feels like a too big of a fear. It's like, I don't know anyone. I like it that way. I just want to say that God has more for you than you could ever imagine. It's your chance to actually meet other people and open up and hear stories. Jared shared this, but you know, often we come into these groups thinking, if anyone knew my story, they would not like me. But then you hear someone else's story and you go, oh, okay, they're just as bad. Or they're just as messed up. Okay, I can begin to open up. But to realize this, we end up comparing our insides, what we know of ourselves inside, to other people's outsides. And growth groups are an opportunity to begin to hear other people's insides too and realize, okay, we're on this journey together. God's working in you so God can work in me too. And it's amazing getting to know people. And yet we learn stories in our growth group. I won't get into it because someone else's story. But we learn stories that are just amazing of like, what? That happened to you? You begin to realize that you need partners and people are just like you. Some of you are used to living life in isolation. And I don't want that anymore for you. And God doesn't want that anymore for you. He wants to turn a new page in your book where you're actually open to people, you're letting people into your life, and you're sharing your life, and you're being a blessing. So don't miss this opportunity. Don't settle, but take a risk. Meet other people and share your personality. You're incredibly needed. We need you. Amen? Great. Let's pray. But before we do that, let me read Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so people can improve one another. Let's bow our heads. As the sermon's been happening, some of you are realizing that you do live in isolation. That you maybe have followed Jesus for a little bit, or maybe you haven't followed him at all, but you realize that no one really knows you. And God is saying that he knows you. And he wants to open you up to a whole group of people who will love you and show you his love. So we're going to pray right now. For those of you who are living in isolation and want to take the next step, you can pray this prayer with me. God, I have hidden from you and from others, but I want to open up my life to you. And I want to take the step of connecting with other people. God, this is a risk for me, but I'm going to do it because I trust you. So I give my life to you. And I want to pray for those who are feeling well connected, but also just feeling like they need to go deeper, that they want to connect with other people better. They want to serve more. If you're here and you realize that God has shaped you for a specific purpose, but you haven't been using your gifts and your talents and your abilities for that purpose, you can pray this prayer of commitment to God. And just say, God, I am yours. Do with me what you will. I want to serve you. I want to make a difference for you and for your people. Thank you. And God, we pray all these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.